السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين. صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام، most respected brothers, this verse of the Quran Sharif you have heard many times. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala orders the believers that they should enter the fold of Islam completely. In today's talk, I am not going to discuss the tafsir of this ayat, but to draw your attention to the fact that the companions of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is exactly what they did, that they brought Islam in their lives completely. There was no question of them having some aspects of Islam in their lives and some aspects or some parts of the culture of the kuffar or the mushrikeen or the yahood or the nasara in their lives. If you had to look at a sahabi of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he was a walking, talking example of Islam. You didn't have to then search for Islam in the kitabs. In the life of the companion of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you found Islam. So these companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whatever instruction, whatever hukam was given to them, they did not question Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam. No matter how difficult the hukam, no matter how difficult the order and command, they were willing to give their lives, but not to sacrifice or put the knife over the hukam of Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of the very difficult and very trying hukams of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and of course whatever order Rasul-e-Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave, was always the hukam of Allah ta'ala. وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُّ يُوحَىٰ. He did not say anything of his own. Whatever Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam speaks, it is wahi which has been revealed to him. That's the meaning of the ayat. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, every hukam of his was the hukam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So one of the very difficult hukam or orders was hijrat, to leave Makkah Mukarrama and go out. First of all, the hijrat was to Abyssinia, the present-day Ethiopia, and then the hijrat was to Madinah Tayyiba. So hijrat really meant leaving one's home, leaving one's family, if they are disbelievers, to separate from them and leave them there and go away to Madinah Tayyiba. It was not an easy thing. They were not allowed to look back at their businesses. If the hukam of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam came that you have to go make hijrat, then they did not look back. It's a different thing that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala put so much of love into the hearts of the Ansar of Madinah Tayyiba, that the Ansar of Madinah Tayyiba, they sacrificed whatever they had. They gave 50% to their brothers who had come from Makkah Mukarrama. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had established this brotherhood, and we cannot find anywhere in history the type of sacrifice that the Ansar of Madinah made. The companions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam who came having left behind everything in Makkah Mukarrama, so the Ansar, they opened up their hearts and they gave half to that person who had been made their brother. But that is another story. Nevertheless, that was a reward, one of the rewards that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gave them of having made hijrat and coming to Madinah Tayyiba, having left everything behind in Makkah Mukarrama. But that was not their niyat. They did not come, they did not migrate, they did not leave Makkah Mukarrama so that they may get the properties of the Ansar, so that they may get a share in the properties of the Ansar, so that they may get a share in the farms of the Ansar. That was not their niyat, because of Hazrat Abdul Rahman ibn Auf radiallahu ta'ala, he said, show me the way to the marketplace. When he was offered all these things, he said, show me the way to the marketplace. In other words, I will do business, I know how to do business, I will earn for myself. We have not come here to be parasites. Although they were opening up their hearts, but the niyat of the sahabas who came from Makkah Mukarrama was not to grab a share of whatever they were being given. If we had been in their places, we would have said, is there anything more? But here they said, show us the way to the marketplace. So the Sahaba-e-Kiram, Ridwanullah alayhim ajmain, they made this hijrat for the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, ready to face all odds. Allah ta'ala afterwards gave them the kingdoms. The Persian Empire, the Roman Empire, everything was at their feet. But when they were leaving Makkah Mukarrama, at that time they were not aware that when we are going to reach Madinah Tayyibah, we will be given half the share of the farms of the Ansar. Or that they will give us this and they will give us that. Nothing. They were practically going there like how we have our present day refugees. That they have to leave their cities and towns and go and put up in some tents, not knowing where the next meal will come from. So this hijrat that took place, it is a very long chapter. It's a very long history. There were so many incidents that led to this hijrat. But we all know, it is not new to us. This much we all know, that the persecution, the torture had reached a limit in Makkah Mukarrama. The persecution and torture had reached a limit. If any person accepted Islam, then it meant that he has prepared himself for torture, for persecution, to be exiled, to be hit, to be beaten up, to be separated from his family. There was no question of being given garlands. But they were prepared for all that. So the tortures had reached a limit. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam finally, under the order of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, gave them the permission to make hijrat and go away to Madina Tayyibah. Most of them had left. Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu was very desirous of leaving. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked him all the time to remain behind. He said, wait until Allah ta'ala's order comes. Probably you will have a companion to join you on the journey. Now Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu wished that this companion was Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alayhi wasalam. But at the same time, he did not know that it would be Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam could have told him that now you go away too and I will follow later. Finally, when, just to cut the story short, because we have very little time, when the kuffar of Makkah gathered together in Darun Nadwa and they finally planned the assassination of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and they said that we will have some people from the Hashimi family, Banu Talib, Abu Talib's family, because they will retaliate if just one person from the Quraysh has to go and assassinate Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, there will be a retaliation from all the other families. So they tried to get one from each family. They surrounded the house of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So this murder squads is not a new story. Right from the time of Rasul Paak sallallahu alayhi wasalam, for the assassination of sometimes pious and righteous people, murder squads have been formed. The third force, we may call, or whatever force. So they planned, they did their planning. But Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, he did his planning. And nobody's planning can be better than the planning of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So they surrounded the house of Rasul Paak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam put Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu in his place, and said that you cover yourself with this green sheet of mine and I will leave and nobody will cause you any harm. Now, it was not an ordinary matter, it was a serious matter. Imagine the enemies have surrounded the house and they are armed and they are prepared or ready to assassinate Rasul Paak Sarasam the moment he steps out of his house. Now at such a time, who can sleep peacefully? But Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he found no excitement, no fear at all. That was the barakat of Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's dua. And why did he leave Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu behind? Now, this is what is linked to our subject which we have been discussing over the weeks. Why did he leave Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu behind? And the purpose of bringing this hijrat in is because it is the new year Muharram. And Muharram, or our calendar, starts from the hijrat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Although there are many other calendars and many incidents in the life of Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam from which the calendar could have started. But Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, whenever the suggestions were made or whatever suggestions were made, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu did not accept those suggestions. For example, from the Battle of Badr, or that the calendar should start from the birth of Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam, because there was no other incident in the history of mankind far more worthy from which this calendar should commence than the birth of Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam. But just imagine Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu's wisdom, that he did not want it to end up just as a celebration, that we celebrate Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam was born on a certain date and therefore our calendar starts from there and then we have a celebration. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu knew why he was choosing hijrat, the migration of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, as the starting point for this calendar of Islam. Because hijrat is a reminder to the Muslims right until the day of Qiyamah that for this deen of Islam, tremendous amount of sacrifice has been made. Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wasalam and his companions, they went through tortures, trials, hardships, tribulations. They were stoned, they were persecuted, they were sworn at, they were jeered at, they were laughed at, they were mocked at, they were teased. In Taif he was stoned so much that his shoes Mubarak became filled with his blood. In Uhud he was stoned, he fell unconscious. So many other occasions Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is being stoned. He goes down in sajda in the Haram Sharif, intestines of animals are placed on his back. Thorns are placed in his path. What was not done to them? So much of sacrifice they made for this deen of Islam. That same Nabi of Allah, whom the Quraysh who used to trouble, or the Kuffar and the Mushrikeen, or the Yahud and the Nasara, and the Munafiqeen of his time used to give endless trouble, cause him endless problems. Today we as believers in Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are causing no less problem to Him. No way in the world can you say that this is the community of Muslims which are an example, which we can present and say that these are Muslims. And if you want a life of peace and happiness, contentment and satisfaction, and a life that is going to be giving you tranquility and serenity in your heart in this world, and giving you peace and comfort and jannat in the hereafter, then follow these Muslims, a whole group of them. Because we will find that one person is making namaz very well, but if you look at his dealings, then even shaitan feels ashamed. One person will be giving plenty of charities, but if you have to look at his namaz, then we will have to ask some mufti sahab whether this namaz is valid, which this person made. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, and he's gone. He doesn't even know whether he read Surah Fatiha in there, or he read something in Gibberish or Latin. So we have got all our departments mixed up. So this hijrat was a reminder to the Muslims and to the believers that an effort has to be made for this deen of Islam. To bring Islam into our lives, an effort has to be made. Different kinds of efforts can be made. It's not necessary that there is only one way. There are many ways. But the bottom line is to bring the deen of Islam into our lives, whether it is our dealings, our trade, our transactions, our social life, our home life, our walimas, our weddings, our upbringing of the children, the type of education that we give to them, the type of literature that we give to them to read, the type of things that we provide for them at home to keep them occupied in a healthy frame of mind. All these things are necessary. If we do not, then it means that we have just chosen some department of Islam in which we make sacrifice upon sacrifice and we think that we have done the duty to Islam. And when those people look at our outward garb and outward piety, and they look at our beards and our kurtas and our tasbihs and our zikr majlis and our tilawat and our talim, then they think that this person is very pious. But afterwards, when they deal and when they trade, or when they have to marry their daughter to our son, or have to marry our son to their daughter, their son to our daughter, or we have to come into some partnership in some business, then the person says, I was mistaken. So this hijrat, why did Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam leave Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu behind? If only this lesson we take for today's Jummah, it is sufficient. He left him behind because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, people used to leave amanats with him. They used to keep trust properties with him. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he was given the title As-Sadiq al-Ameen, the truthful one, the most trustworthy one. Here the kuffar and the mushrikeen and the enemies of Islam, they had grabbed everything. They had taken everything from the Muslims in Makkah Mukarramah. When they were going for hijrat, they didn't say you can take your gold and silver and home and properties and everything, or we will pay you for all these properties that you are leaving behind. Nothing. They had to hide and leave. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was totally justified if he had retained all those amanats, if he had kept it behind, or if he had taken it with him, or if he had instructed Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu that take all this amanat and hide it somewhere and then distribute it to the Muslims and you come away to Madinah Sharif. He would have been justified because the kuffar and the mushrikeen had taken away everything from the Muslims. But look at the example that he set for the ummah until the day of Qiyamah, that here these were amanats and trusts left in his care by kuffar and mushrikeen, not by the believers. The kuffar and mushrikeen who were his enemies, but they trusted him so much that our property, if it will be safe, it will be safe in the hands of this Rasul of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they used all kinds of means to keep it with him. They didn't trust their own friends, they didn't trust their own families, they didn't trust their own neighbors. Whom did they trust? They trusted the one whom they hated the most. Because Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was their arch enemy. But yet, at the bottom of their hearts, they knew very well that our hatred, our dislike, our enmity is not for any other reason except that he has become very popular in our land. People are accepting this faith and religion toward which he is inviting. And the numbers are increasing. And they too could see in the life of Rasulullah Paak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that for 40 years the person who grew up amongst them and didn't speak a single word of lie, because when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam invited them from the Mount Safa, did he show them miracles? He could have shown them miracles on the very first day. I mentioned this in one of my majlis, that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam could have shown miracles on the very first day and all the kuffar of Makkah would have accepted Islam if Allah had willed. But from the Mount Safa, when he invited them, he said that if I have to tell you that there is an enemy behind this mountain which is prepared to attack, which is ready to attack you, would you believe me? Each and every one said with a single voice, we will believe you because we have never ever heard you speak a lie. So he left behind Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu to return these amanats and these trust properties to those people who were the rightful owners, to those people who had left it in his possession. That is why he left behind Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu and he made hijrat. Now the story of hijrat is a very long story, inshallah we'll discuss someday. But here the point for today, which is linked to our topic, is trust and amanat and paying back to those whatever it is due to them. Because we were discussing deaths and that dua of Rasulullah Paak sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There's no time to go back to that. So this is what we are taught, that the Muslim has got certain characteristics. When he deals with somebody, there is nothing but honesty. Greed does not come anywhere near his heart. He can be dealing with millions of rands of somebody else and he will not take a single cent from there, because he believes that I am answerable to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. This greed is a killer disease. Recently the talk all over is the cricketer. He had more than 2 million rand worth of contracts. and he was earning 40,000-50,000 rands a month. What was it? It was greed. It reminded me of Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. One person asked him, he said, can I accompany you? I want to become your companion. Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam said, yes, you can become my companion. So it was evening. Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam had three bread. So he gave him one, he ate one, and he said, we'll leave one for tomorrow. Or one was left over, he said, we'll eat it tomorrow. Then Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam went somewhere and came back, he found the one bread gone. So this was the only person there, so he asked him, he said, where is that bread? He said, I don't know. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam said, right, let's go. Whilst walking, we all know that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah Ta'ala had given him various mu'ajizats and miracles. If he says, Qum bi iznillah, then the person that dead, with the name of Allah, he comes to life. Animals also, creatures also, birds also. So Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was walking, he saw some buck or deer coming. So he called, pointed towards it. It came. Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam slaughtered it. They made kebabs of it, or they had braai or whatever it was. And then Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam took the bones and said, Qum bi iznillah. And it came back to life and it went away. So this person saw this miracle. Now Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam asked him, that where is that third bread? He says, I don't know. Who ate it? He says, I don't know. He said, right, let's carry on. They went where they had to cross a river where boat was normally required. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam caught hold of his hand and in the name of Allah they crossed it. Another miracle, mu'jaza he saw. After that he asked him, now tell me where is that bread? He says, I don't know. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam carried on. On the way they came across a heap of sand. So that Isa alayhi salatu wasalam in the name of Allah turned that sand to gold and made it into three bricks of gold. As Isa alayhi salatu wasalam told him, now this one brick is for you, this one brick is for me, and the third one is for the person who ate the third bread. So he said, I was the one who ate the third bread. So Isa alayhi salatu wasalam told him, well, now alright, you keep the third brick too. He says, you take all three and keep it. But you are not worthy of being my companion. You have failed in the test. And he left him and went away. Now this person, whilst he was there, according to the riwayat, Imam Ghazali rahmatullah has also mentioned it in his Ihya ul-Ulum. He says some people were passing by, some dacoits or robbers or burglars or thieves. And when they saw this person with three bricks, they said, well, this is the person that we must murder and take his three bricks away. So they were two people. So this person said, why murder me? Why kill me? There are three bricks. I keep one, you keep one, and you keep one. Three of us share one. So they said, all right, we'll spare your life, but leave the three bricks here. And they gave him some money to go and buy some food and come. When they sent him for the food, again the desire came in his heart to get all three. So he decided that I rather put poison in the food, and then when I take it there, these two people, they will die. So I will get those bricks. And these two decided that when he comes back, then we will murder him and take the three and go away. So when he came back with the food, they murdered him. And then they said, well, now he's out of the way. So let us have a nice lunch or dinner, and then we will take these three bricks of gold and go home. So when they set to eat, it was poisoned, so they also died. Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was passing by, he saw the three bricks still lying there. He said, this is the end result of greed. He said, this is the end result of greed. So brothers, whatever takes us to haram is nothing else but greed. Whether it's a casino, or whether it is stealing containers, or whether it is cheating somebody in trade, or whether it is taking somebody's money and not repaying, most of the time it is nothing but greed. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to take this lesson from this hijrat of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, that here he had the amanat of these people and he could have kept it with him, and there were people who disbelieved in him and who were chasing him and his people out of Makkah Mukarramah, but yet Rasul-e-Pak did not take it and go. He made sure that Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu returned these amanats to those to whom it belonged. And then he migrated. Inshallah, tonight Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, if he gives me life till then and the opportunity to speak on this hijrat or ashura, then we'll have a short talk, a short zikr and dua inshallah. Wa akhira da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. May Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq of amal.